hospitalité. Toi retourne d'où tu viens si tu ne sais pas où aller. Moi je peux rester chez moi quand bien même on est divisé. Je ne veux pas d'un bonheur déguisé. Et si je me bats pour garder mon intimité, c'est que là où tu sais le système est déguisé. Je ne veux pas qu'il m'oblige, qu'il ne me change les idées. D'ailleurs ils font un visa, dis-moi si moi tu vois la galère. Moi je sens le mauvais climat, dis-le quand même.
No, election time is right around the corner. October 3rd, we all must be voting. Do you know who you're voting for yet? The Empower Hour, we're here just doing what we can to educate you guys. Today we have Alex Terrell, the leader of the Parti Vert du Québec. So that's the Provincial Green Party of Quebec. And he's going to be sharing with us what his platform's plans are, what his views are, and what we can expect from the Green Party this year, today on the Empower Hour.
Welcome to the Empower Hour. We bring empower to the people because the people have the power. This squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. I'm Queen Kaya, joined by Pharaoh Hammond Freeman and Gina the Great. But before we do anything else, like always, we're going to bless this show and our kings and queens listening.
Blessing, beautiful people. I hope your day started right, going better, and ends great. We ask that this episode rises your energy and shares nothing but love and light. Let this episode be empowering, entertaining, and absolutely delightful, and be the audio food you need to nourish your mind, spirit, and soul.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. Ooh. Didn't do too bad on that one, right?
Oh, that was perfect.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Gina the Great's blessing of the show this morning, or this morning, this evening, however, whenever you're listening to it.
Yes.
As today, it's a girls' night.
Yes, it is.
It's a girls' night.
It's always great. Always great when we have those girls' nights.
I think all we have to do, though, we got to make sure we stick to the time.
Yes.
Because we have the gift of gab when it comes down to it.
Yeah, we do. We can do that.
We can, yeah. We got it. We got it covered, guys. We do. Yeah. Kai, how was your week?
My week was, it was a little bit slow for me.
Yeah.
I felt like I was tired a lot this week. Mm-hmm. I felt very drained. Almost like the beginning of the week for me, tired me out so much that I didn't have much left for the rest of the week. It was just like,
right. Almost
like snap, crackle, pop, but like almost like the opposite, like, how do you say, fizzle, sizzle, blop, maybe.
Fizzle, sizzle, blop. I don't want to eat that for breakfast.
Yeah, this is what the week was coming up on. So I just made a plan that I'm going to, this week I'm going to have a better week.
Okay.
And I'm going to plan a little bit. So tomorrow morning, like on my mornings, I was telling you guys last week that I started driving my niece to school in the mornings.
Because
a lot of children don't have school buses right now.
Why? What do you mean?
School bus drivers are on strike.
A lie.
They want more money.
I mean,
it's only right, right?
I mean, everyone wants more money right now. Inflation's killing everyone.
For sure. But the people are like, well, listen, you drive a bus. But they got little tiny, beautiful lives in those buses, right?
100%.
So pay the people their money, yes. But so I'm driving my niece to school in the mornings, and it's a pleasure for me. But it's very early in the morning, so it's also adding to my new part of my cycle where I want to be waking up earlier and having more energy and doing some things. So I told you guys some months ago that I purchased a new elliptical in my living room, like a gym style elliptical. So tomorrow will be my first official day, like getting on it for more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
Because I've been doing like 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes just to get my mind right.
Yes.
So that kind of inspired me to do some laundry and just add some extra little zhuzhes to the house. So that's what I did this week. And in this week coming up, I hope to purchase some paint, and I want to paint. So my last week being so like raggedy, I feel like made me want to spruce up this week here, because I feel like it says a lot about, you know, where we're at, how our space looks and feels to us, right? So that's my week in a nutshell, just like my how my week went and what it inspired for the week to come. So that's where I'm at right now. So it has inspired me to get my life. My house is like, get your life, girl.
Get your life together.
Yes. But how about you, Gigi?
Good. Good. I think I have a very similar thing, but I wanted to say that I do feel like when your house is in disarray, I usually take that as a warning sign that things aren't good on the inside.
Yes.
So when the chaos is internal, mm-hmm. the chaos will start presenting itself in your external space.
Yes.
And so if I wake up and I'm just like, yo, why is clothes everywhere? Why are there dishes in my sink and whatnot? And then mm-hmm. I have to kind of stop and think like, all right, let's figure this out. What's going wrong? Right? Like,
yeah.
If when the universe is talking to you, you don't listen, well, the chaos starts to spill over.
I think for me more is that I just really haven't had time. Like I started doing this Uber thing.
Right, right.
And you know what? I drive every single day. I could drive 12 hours a day, no problem, doing the stuff that I want to do. But this Uber thing is draining me. So now I put in 8 hours. I'm exhausted. Like I worked like a 12, 16 hour day. Mm. I'm exhausted. And the people are weird sometimes. And I had this one guy just watching the app from the back seat. And he's like, this is not the turn. This is nothing. But I'm like, where's telling me to go right now? There's a lot of traffic. I'm going to go this way. No, go this way. Go that way. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to let you tell me where to go. You direct me, okay? Because that's what I was also told to do on the videos, right? Studying for the course. Child, this man got in the back seat and told me Go this way. I went that way, and it was the wrong way. And we ran into a lot of traffic. And I was so upset. But you know what? It doesn't cost them more.
It doesn't?
It reads like it's my fault, right? They don't know he's directing me.
Oh.
So when he gets out of my cab after 27 minutes and the meter says 12 bucks, 14 bucks, I'm like, are we finna have a problem? So it's exhausting. It's taxing. And sometimes the calls are so good. Yeah, 48 bucks one call. That's great. Mm-hmm. A $10 tip. Amazing. But it doesn't always go like that. So I have been peeved. And 8 o'clock, I'm in the bed. So right now is like, for me, I'm like exhausted.
It's past your bedtime.
Yeah.
But the difference with when you're riding around on your own time, doing your own thing,
mm-hmm.
you're not exchanging energy with unknown people.
Yes.
And so it's the give and take. So like when you have those good rides with good energy people, I'm sure it increases your mood and everything is good and you're ready to go. But if you have Mr. Turn here and you're stuck in traffic.
Mr. Turn here. That's exactly it.
That changes that whole mood. But another thing too, something I have to continuously remind myself, we are in the Mercury retrograde and it is, I'm not letting it kick my butt mm-hmm. because anytime I start getting into my mind, I'm just like, Mercury retrograde. Mm-hmm. Mercury retrograde. Gosh, mm-hmm. I can't even say it. Say
yes, that three right? times fast. That's why I said, you know why? The universe said, don't say it.
Right, just let it go, right? But in this time, too, you're not supposed to be so hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that there's things that are that just are. And it's the energy that it is. The energy's heavier. So don't do anything crazy. Don't make any big decisions. Don't go spending all your money because you might regret it after October 3rd. But just don't.
Really?
Because the retrograde, everything is kind of, if you start feeling very paranoid too, like we spoke about this last week or the week before last, you start feeling a little more paranoid and all these different things. So give yourself a break. Mm. Take it easy on yourself and everybody else. Cause that too, you can be snappalicious during these times. Take a beat.
Super extra testy.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's kind of how I took my week. I even went out for a walk when it was, you know, I have to say, I went out to walk, but it was like raining. It was a Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, you know, come hell or high water, I needed to leave my place. Just when you work from home and you're in your same four walls, after a while you kind of lose it a bit. Mm. And it was drizzling, but as soon as I walked out, it pretty much stopped. And it stopped for like the 35, 45 minute walk that I did, and then it poured.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys remember it, on Tuesday, last Tuesday, it poured. It poured to the point where there was a lot of flooding, actually.
Oh, it flooded all over the place.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I was just like, look at God just being like, she needs this.
Yes.
Let me give her this quick 35, 40 so she can just.
I believe in that.
Oh, 100%. Because yeah. I'm telling you, the moment I walked back in my place, call it 5 minutes, and it started coming down.
Yeah, I'm a believer.
And the only other thing I did too this week was, so we were celebrating Pharaoh's birthday on Saturday at his cottage. So we just aligned, you know, nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. Nothing where, you know, you have to prepare too much. And I find those are always the nicer ones. It's without having the energy of having to prepare and making sure things are ready. No, you just show up.
Yes.
It is what it is. Chill. Yes. Have a drink or don't.
Yes.
And then always the fire pit. And man, fire is mesmerizing.
Yes, it is.
There's something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what it was, but I want to say I think I spent most of my time just staring into the fire.
Wow, just that is so beautiful.
Went in and hugged the tree.
Really?
Just, you know, like, well, hug it. I didn't actually get around to hugging it, but I just, like, I touched the tree, really just, like, exchange the energy, because they say some of the best ways to ground yourself is by touching a tree, because their roots are so deep.
Yes.
And whatnot. So, that's, for an uneventful week, it was pretty eventful.
That's beautiful. I'm sad that I missed that on Saturday. Oh.
Yeah, well, that's okay, though.
I'm sad.
Well, you know, the holistic retreat area is always available. I think he's there every weekend,
no,
too, at this point.
No, I would have wanted to be there for Pharaoh's birthday. I just thought that we were doing a birthday party tonight. So I remember things got switched up.
And... Oh, that was supposed to be last week. Yeah, because his official birthday was on Monday the 12th.
Oh.
But you know, we'll work it out. Yeah, we got stuff coming up.
I don't like that my mind is all over the place like that, but it's okay. We'll have to get out of this Uber and get into something else. I'm going to tell you. And I'm be better. So tell me about what's been going on. Like, what's your dynamics like this
what
week?
Mean?
Like, what was going on this week? Oh no.
Uh huh.
Yeah. You know what? Me and my little boo thing, we broke up. It's crazy.
It's messing with our minds because I was just like, what did I do this week?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. And then this was last night we broke up.
A lie.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah. True story. I'm tripping right now. How did I forget that so quick? Yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah, I know.
Spill the tea?
Yeah.
I mean, spill what you want to spill.
You know what? So I, in the spirit of trying to learn how to date again,
mm-hmm.
I have accepted some things that I know that I shouldn't have. Just trying to, like, learn again, really. Not taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
Trying it different ways. You know, the good way, the bad way, and just seeing what better fits on me, because I haven't really dated. My relationships that I've had were so long that not really dating for 11 years keeps you out of the loop of dating.
Yeah.
So now I have some small requests, I feel like. Things that I ask for that are small things. I take care of myself. I do all my own stuff. If you have something financially to bring to the table, that's great. But if I like you, you don't got to really worry about it like that. But I do expect to be treated like somebody.
Yeah.
Take me out, do some things. But if I find that we in my living room, you know, any more than 4 times a month and we on a date, like supposed to be trying to have a date, and when we find ourselves in my living room doing the date,
yeah,
I'm not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to do some things. I want to explore. I want to go out. Like I know what my living room look like.
Yeah. I'm here often enough.
Like... Yeah. And don't got to always be anything expensive either, but take me somewhere that I want to ask me what I like. And take me somewhere I want to go, you know? So anyways, I just feel like it's always something, right? And I feel like when a man gets a little lackluster with you, it's probably because he's entertaining someone else. And so I am the type of person that I don't care. I'm going to go looking. And I'm not really tripping. I just want to hear. I just want the truth, right? And if I don't feel like I'm not getting the truth from you, I'm going to find it. And then I'm going to be like, listen, why you just didn't? So anyways, I just feel like I gave this person way too many chances to just do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I know they're not capable. I know they don't have it in them.
Well,
but it was fun while it lasted, you know.
Okay.
We had a great time. We had a great run. And I'm not angry, but I just feel like I deserve a lot better. And it's time for me to move accordingly, because I've never allowed anything like this before in my life. But like I said, in the spirit of trying some stuff and not being such a hard ass all the time, you know?
Yes, but And we're going a little over this morning. I keep saying this morning, right? But like, we're going a little over in our roundtable on this. But the one time I did that and tried something different from to the point where I was accepting things that I don't normally accept, mm-hmm. that was the worst and most damaging relationship that I had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was like 2 years on and off. And it, like, it, I have to say, it damaged me more than the
long-term relationships.
Yeah, but it damaged me more than the one where I called off my wedding.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So like, cuz you're trying to, you're, it's beyond compromising. It's beyond compromising, and there's no point of doing that.
Yes.
Cuz you have everybody else in your all, you're, and you know what, this is good. I'm going to hold this for our T-mail, or what's the T-mail?
Yes.
Because It has some correlations there.
So we'll retouch.
We'll full circle on
yes,
that.
Yes, I love this.
All right, well, let's get into it.
Dressing on them, sweating. Little do they know, little do they see how much it took for me to like me. Nubia, I get that job done for a fee. Keep pressing on, not pressing me. Yeah, I march on through with a strut. Plenty of sway, feel it in your gut. Grown woman sense, I get them all checking. God is loving, power respecting. Little do they know, little do they keep on the low who they claim they would be. I put it downward like a lady. My golden puss ain't for free. You gotta love me for me. Not what you think I should be. Who you thought I could be. You gotta put it up for me. I step right and won't quit. Let the backbone slide. See how it sits. My tailbone deep back. I'm flexing while I'm showing up. They're expecting. But little do they know, little do they see how much it took for me to save me. I keep that cape on like a G. Wherever I in society, I roll on and I don't run. Taking up space while you want some. Creeping slow, tiptoeing in action. Montreal is the number one sanction. But little do you know, little do you see, all that force born from misery. We make it look good, don't you agree? The lesson I got in the end was me. You better love me for me. What you think I should be? Not who you thought I could be. Yeah. Oh, you gotta put it down for me. I get my phone from the on. You think I should be? No, not who you thought I could be. Ooh, you gotta put it down for me. If you ever had to wonder if you would be so kind to help me with the clutter that's in my mind. To the end and
All right, beautiful people. I am so glad to be back and to be back with this guest. So as you guys know, we have been here on the Empower Hour. We have been on this political awareness campaign. And so we are back. The section is that we're talking about now. Oh, yeah. So we're now in Parlay with the People. And Parlay with the People is where we like to educate you all in terms of members of the community, connect you with great people doing awesome things. We go from politics to business owners to organizations to just individuals who have something pressing on their chest that they want to share with the community. And we're super glad to be able to do this for you guys every single week. With no further ado, I want to introduce our guest, Alex Terrell, who is the leader of the Parti Vert du Québec. So that is the Green Party that you guys know I speak highly of all the time, because as you guys know, as I say it all the time, I am Earth. We need to remember our connection to the planet. So with no further ado, welcome, Alex, to our show, The Empower. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So first off, we just dive right in. One of the things I was talking to you a little bit off air, why we do this is just to create awareness, first off. For those who might not even be aware of the Green Party, like what you guys stand for, what's your stance, what's your agenda, so to speak. So I'll give you the floor to just introduce yourself, introduce the party, and what we should be looking forward to from the Green Party.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. So as you mentioned, my name is Alex Terrell. I'm the leader of the Green Party of Quebec. I've been in this position for 9 years this week, actually. I was elected to the role at age 25, up to 34 years old now. And Green Party of Quebec is an eco-socialist party. So for us, eco-socialism means talking about the environment, but also making sure that the people are well taken care of, that we have access to a high quality public healthcare system, that our schools are in good shape, and that there's a social safety net in which nobody is left behind. We also have a very inclusive identity policy. So we're against racism and discrimination and want to build an inclusive Quebec there where everybody has a place. And some of the issues that we're putting forward in this election campaign is free public transit for everybody. We want to make transit free and expand it massively across the province, talking about many new metro lines, for example, you know, really giving people the tools that they need to go without a car. We want to make life more affordable, combat inflation, particularly with groceries and that sort of thing, and also give people the means to own their own apartments, because you know, for a whole generation of people, the idea of being able to own your home or own your apartment is something that's become out of reach. So we think that the government has a really important role to play in helping people out and making sure that we have access to all the different services that we need. And of course, being an environmental party, well, we want to, you know, spend a lot of money protecting the environment. We're talking about $500 billion for a transition to clean energy and for protecting the environment. So those are some of the main things that we're putting forward in this campaign.
Wow. So that's huge. And I have all kind of questions. So good. I'm glad you listed those things out. And it's like, I almost want to start from the bottom up, because now this $500 billion to protect, like basically to switch over to cleaner energy. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? And I have a second question on the same point.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, for us, looking at Quebec now, we need massive investments in clean energy and also in protecting the environment. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that really sets us apart from the other parties. Like if you look at the others, you've got Quebec Solidaire, they're talking about something like $35 billion for the environment over 4 years, simply not enough. Green Party of Quebec, we say $500 billion because we want to build, you know, new subway lines in Montreal and Quebec City and Gatineau. We want to have high-speed rail. We want to you know, make sure that our wastewater is being properly treated, that our garbage and waste is being disposed of in the most environmentally friendly way. We want to protect our lakes and rivers. We want to make sure that agriculture is done in a much cleaner way. And so all of these things, you know, do cost money. And people say, well, where are you going to get the money? Well, The way that we're going to get the money is by taxing rich people, the 1%, big corporations, multinationals, mining companies, carbon emissions. We don't want to increase taxes on people who are making less than $100,000 a year, you know, so most people have absolutely nothing to worry about. But there should be, you know, a better distribution of wealth. And there's some very rich people that are getting away without paying their fair share. Mm-hmm. That being said, we're also open to, you know, taking on debt for the province in order to pay for this energy transition. Because, you know, if you think about it, like, what are we better off leaving for future generations, either a financial debt or an environmental debt? If it's up to me, I would say that we should leave them a financial debt, because you can't just buy back an environmental debt. You know, mm-hmm. once biodiversity is destroyed, once the climate has already heated up, there's no way to go back in a lot of cases, you know. So I think that we need to, you know, spend this money now to have an energy transition, and that future generations would be better served by having, yes, somewhat of a financial debt, but living in a province that's already completed its energy transition and it has a lot of green infrastructure already in place.
Are we modeling this after any other countries? Like, have you seen any other countries with this type of structure?
I mean, look, there's some countries that are spending, you know, quite a bit of money on environment. But, you know, in my view, there's no country that has put forward, you know, a proposition that's this bold. Okay. So we want to make Quebec a leader, a world leader in the fight for the environment and for climate change.
Okay. And good. So you answered my second question at the same time, because I was like, $500 billion. Who's paying for that? Because it seems like a pretty big bill, but now I get it. And I'll share a little nugget. I feel on that education, in terms of just educating the community on what it really means to be environmentally friendly and our connection as beings to the planet. I'm just going to put that out there as a seed for you guys as you're going through this whole thing. Even just community awareness, letting people understand the correlation between us as human beings and the actual planet itself, I think that would be that'd be a huge little thing,
right? Because it's easy to lose track of, right? We're living in this concrete jungle and everything. We're far away from agricultural fields. We get our water through the tap, and, you know, don't think too much about how it got to us or what happens with our waste when we're finished. But you know, this lifestyle that we have in the city is dependent on, you know, a lot of resources and exploitation from, you know, beyond the city and from beyond the country as well, right? Like, we're consuming stuff made in China a lot of the time and this sort of thing. So, you know, everything that we eat, everything that we consume has environmental impact. You know, I mean, rather than having things like, you know, local greenhouses that run by communities in each neighborhood, in the winter, we're importing fruits and vegetables from California. We're sending them up in trucks, putting out all kinds of emissions to get them up here. So, that's it. People are linked to the environment, you know, whether you live in a city or not. And there are limits to what the environment can deliver in terms of services. And that's why we need to make sure that, you know, we live sustainably and that we have government policies in place to make sure that, you know, we don't reach the limits of the planet and we don't end up, you know, having to go without food or without clean water or that sort of thing, not just now, but, you know, in decades and in the centuries to come.
I get it, and that makes sense. So now, so we'll segue a little bit. So from, because as we're talking food and the cost of food, now we're blessed as the OFC. We just got our first four season greenhouse that we're setting up at our retreat. So we're going to be able to grow food, fresh food, for our members throughout the year. So we're really excited about that, and there's a need for it because the fact that cost of living has increased drastically. Now, there's two things. You had one. I want to know what the Green Party's plan is to help us with that, because again, it's just like our wages have not increased, but everything else has. And also, if we, on the same note, if we could also talk about this ownership when we talk about owning apartments. I'm not too sure exactly what you mean by that. So I'm curious about those two
things. Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations on the greenhouse project. There, it's really great that you're able to get that off the ground and up and running and, you know, able to deliver healthy food to community members. There's something that's very important. And it's exactly what the Green Party wants to do all across Quebec. In every neighborhood, we want to have greenhouses paid for by the government that run off of hydroelectricity, right, which we already own and we have a surplus of. Mm-hmm. And that way we'll have, you know, a way to tackle several issues at a time. For one, we'll have food security. We'll be able to decrease the cost of groceries for people. We'll be able to transmit knowledge about growing plants to people of all ages, really. And we'll be able to also to bring communities together, you know, around these projects, and you have people from all ages be able to do volunteer work and to be able to participate in such a program. So that we call it our national greenhouse strategy. So that's really important. And it would come and support, you know, projects like the one that you're doing and really multiply the number of them, have them a little bit everywhere in Quebec. Mm-hmm. On the issue of housing, we've got a really, really bold housing policy that goes much further from any other political party in Quebec. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we're saying is that we would pass a law that you're not allowed to own more than 10 rental units.
Okay. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm understanding. So me as a real estate owner, let's say I'm an investor, I cannot own more than 10 rental properties. Now, just to make sure I'm clear. Now, rental properties could be duplex, triplex, fiveplexes.
Units. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to say, so that means so within my building, I can't have more than 10 doors. Like I can't have, or does that mean like I can't have more than 10 duplexes, for example?
It would be 10 doors, right?
So oh, 10 wow. Apartments. That's yeah. Okay.
And, oh, and okay. Basically anything that is above that would be expropriated by the government.
Mm-hmm.
The owners would be compensated at the pre-pandemic value for the real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people who are living in these apartments would have two options. Either they could buy their apartments for the price that the government paid,
mm-hmm.
or they could continue rent, but with option to buy.
Wow.
So that way, every month when you pay your rent, there's at least a portion, well, a portion could go for maintenance, but the other portion is like the capital, you'd be able to accumulate that. So after renting a place, you know, for 10 or 15 years, well, it would be yours. And wow. What's really incredible about this is that like this program would be revenue neutral for the government because people are already paying their rents.
Right. You
know? And like, we've got this phenomenon where like these rental apartments are being concentrated in the hands of fewer and fewer people. One of the buildings that I used to live in was 30 units, and it used to be run by an old man. It was like a family business type of thing. He took good care of us, you know. Mm-hmm. But then when he sold to a multinational corporation who came in, and you know, we had very affordable rents. And like the multinational, their strategy was they just wait till people leave their apartments. Then once they leave, well, they renovate them and they keep them vacant for a year. And then after 1 year, you have no more rent control, nothing. So then they're renting them double the price.
Wow.
And meanwhile, the other people who didn't leave, well, the company refuses to fix anything. It's trying to get them out the door.
Right.
And these are multinational corporations, and they come here, and we've got people that are paying up to 50% of their income in rent.
Yes, sir.
To pay to, you know, either these really rich people or these multinational corporations who will then use that money to acquire more apartment buildings to do the same thing to even more people.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, our position at the Green Party of Quebec is that, like, this business of landlording is not legitimate, you know, it should be controlled much more tightly. These people are paying all this money and it's going for rent and it's being used to pay off the mortgage of the owner. And the only right. difference between the owner and the renter is access to capital.
That's it.
So the government should be able to use our AAA credit rating that we have for Quebec to put the money forward to get these landlords out of the picture and let the people start accumulating a little bit of wealth. You know, it's insane that people will go their whole lives renting and at the end of it have nothing, but the landlords are going to own all these buildings, all these properties, you know, and it's an injustice. We need to limit the role of capitalism in the housing market.
Wow. Like, I have to say that, see, I was not aware of that. And that is something huge. I could say that it's like, especially for people in the community who, like you had said, have never owned anything. And sometimes, unfortunately, their economic situation prevents them from even getting to a point where they could save enough to put a deposit down. So if you're Yeah. saying that their rent that they're already paying could start could become transferred into a rent to own, my God, that's you're empowering the community. You're empowering the community and creating a possible legacy that now you could, it's your apartment now, you could still hand it off to your child or whatever the case, who then, I guess, if they so wanted, they could rent it out themselves later on if they move somewhere else. Like, because I'm super, super practical like that. So now I'm thinking down the line.
Yeah, they could sell it or they could rent it out to somebody else. You know, sometimes people live for a certain amount of time in an apartment and they want to buy like a house.
That's it.
Be outside of this program, right? So they could sell their unit or they could rent it to somebody else. And like, that's one of the reasons why we're only going after people who own more than 10 rental units, right? Because you do have some cases where, you know, the landlord like lives in the building with the people, takes good care of them and stuff like right. that. You know, we don't have to go after those. We want to go after the people who have many apartments or many buildings even. And like there's companies that have thousands of apartments in Montreal, you know, that they are operating this way. And there has to be some kind of limit to it. And the fact that like these companies are able to come and buy up all these apartments, what makes the price of the apartments go up, you know, you have this whole speculation game where then it becomes completely out of reach, you know, and you've got people like where I'm living now, you know, paying less than $1,000 a month for a 4.5, which, you know, people would still say it's quite a bit of money. But across the street, like at the beginning of the pandemic, they were selling a 4.5 for like $550,000, you know, and now it's gone up since then. You know, that was a couple of years ago. So like, I mean, it's really incredible. You think already $1,000 is a lot to pay, you know, for an apartment, but like, how would you accumulate like $550,000 or maybe $750,000 to purchase an apartment? It's insane. You know, like the minimum wage, you know, at $14 or so an hour is like less than $30,000 per year. Like you have no chance of buying just a regular 4.5 apartment, like in Point St. Charles, you know,
it's have to be good. Changed.
Everything is structured like to benefit like the rich, like the people who have the money to be able to, you know, buy up all these apartment blocks and everything there. They're making money off the backs of the everyday working people who are slaving away there to pay their rent payments every month and getting.
So right now, so the goal, if I'm understanding, is to level the playing field. So now let me ask you a couple more tougher questions now. So we know that we're dealing with this language situation with the Bill 96 that came in. What's your guys' stance on that?
Us, we're strongly opposed to Bill 96, and we think that bilingualism is an asset to Quebec and to Montreal and not a problem. Like Bill 96, like it's so ideological because, you know, you've got people like François Legault saying that, like the fact that people will go to elementary and high school in French and then decide to go to English CEGEP, like afterwards, you know, Francophones go to English CEGEP to learn better in English. He says that that's a problem. You know, they want to limit the rights of Francophones to go to English college, you know, and it's like, what kind of government is ideologically opposed to like learning of languages? You know, I mean, it's really incredible.
Because so, it's weird because it limits our ability to do business with the rest of the world. Like it handicaps everybody coming out of Quebec. Cause because people coming in, a lot of them they're bilingual, they're speaking English and French. So to come here and we're unilingual and we're only speaking French. I find that's extremely limiting.
Well, that's it. And it's like, you know, people like they got really upset that like the CEO of Air Canada like only speaks English, right? And stuff like that. But what I tell people is like, what if you wanted to be a Francophone there, certainly that Francophone is going to have to know English as well, you know? Because it's not easier to have a unilingual Francophone compared to unilingual Anglophone. It has to be somebody that's bilingual. So why would you say we don't want like Quebecois students to learn English or learn a second language? And so Green Party of Quebec, we're directly opposed to this Bill 96. Mm-hmm. And we want, you know, for all elementary and high school students to have 25% of their instruction in a second language, right? So second language could be English, could be French, could be an indigenous language or international. But we think that fundamentally, like speaking multiple languages is a good thing and it's an objective that should be pursued.
I love that. So now, one of the things that I had circled here when you were talking about being like against racism and being for the people and being a socialist type of group, eco-socialist, we also have the situation where people were discriminated, highly discriminated against for not being vaccinated. So this is something that we did hear a lot of. There was a lot of concern from people within the community. And right now I know like a lot of people are going towards the Conservative Party because they're one of the parties that were standing up against it. So now where do we stand in terms of the Green Party and the vaccine mandates?
Okay, well, I mean, look, the Green Party of Quebec and I, we supported the different sanitary measures that they put in place, like at the time that they were there. And like, we were critical of a lot of them, including like the curfew, for example, you know, which had a lot of negative impacts, and also the priorities, you know, where things were done. Like, you know, there were times when they were telling us like, you're not allowed to have one friend over at your house, but like retail shopping is going to be open.
Right. So, exactly. No logic. There was no logic. Like where it's like, where especially like, because within the OFC, we deal with so many small businesses. So to see them have to close their doors, but then you go to Costco or Walmart and they're rampant. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, How's that even fair? How does that make any sense? You have the small business owner in all Montreal or downtown or trying to make their ends meet, and they have to close their doors. If not, they're taking risks of getting fined. But then these companies who could afford it, they're able to stay open on top of that.
Right. So I think that, you know, the way that François Legault did it was a pro-business approach. You know, I think that, like, sure, there were moments when we had to limit transmission of the virus, right? The hospitals were overflowing, people were getting sick, people were scared, right? There was a lot of support in the population at the time for, like, strong measures.
Right.
But I think that they should never have, like, made it so pro-business that, yeah, those businesses are open, but, you know, if you have one extra person at your house there, you could be a big fine, the police can be knocking on your door. It was like a pro-business, like pro-police kind of like policy that they took. And I think that there's a lot of things they could have done to limit transmission, you know, which would have been more intelligent and had less impacts like on people's well-being, right? Because there's a lot of people who, you know, yeah, that's it. We didn't want to break the rules, didn't want to have people over to their home when they weren't allowed, but then end up completely isolated. And, you know, even things like saying, well, if you live by yourself, you know, you can have one person over. It's like, okay, great. What if you live with a roommate, you know?
Yeah.
Like your roommate's not necessarily like your friend and stuff like that, you know? So like there's a lot of stuff like that where it doesn't really make sense, you know? And
it seemed like we put on a Band-Aid, but it really actually created more problems than anything. Because now, as a result, like I could tell you firsthand, like we're dealing with people who are suffering from anxiety, who went through depression by being completely isolated. Like, so, you know, it might have made more sense to take a different approach or different measure. But now when we're talking about people having to be vaccinated in order to operate in society. Now, because everybody, the word is that once the weather starts to change and the powers that be have a little less control or more control over the people because we're inside more, whatever be the case, we're not as out, that there is talks of, you know, another wave coming out, or, you know, making sure that all your vaccines are up to date. So you need like vaccine 5, 6, or 7. I don't know where they're at right now, but I'm just saying, like, you know, so if we're saying that the Green Party isn't in support of the measures once they're in place, are you saying once the measures come back into place that you guys would still be in support of them?
Look, I think that like those measures had like a time and a place, right? And like when we were talking about like the vaccine passport and stuff like this, like we didn't have that much data on the vaccine, and like we were hoping that you would get the two shots and then you would be protected, you know, permanently and stuff like that. Now, look, it's not the case. You know, I'm up to my fourth vaccine personally, and I got COVID 3 days after getting my fourth vaccine, right? So although it wasn't very bad, and I would hope that this vaccine helped it, you know, not be so bad and everything. But now, like going forward, like it is a lot larger of an ask, you know, to say we're going to have like a COVID vaccine every 5 months versus like you're going to have to get this like twice and then that's going to be it for good. So I think that like there's a limit, you know, people have a limit. Like we can't expect every member of the society to get a COVID vaccine every 5 months, you know, even if the scientific data says that like this would, you know, prevent death and disease and that sort of thing. Like, is it reasonable to ask people to get continuous vaccines? Like, I don't think so, you know.
That's
so,
it. And that's why it was important to understand, like, where, like, and again, I'm green, no pun intended, but in the sense of not knowing how it works, right? Like, so once you guys come into power, if from a national standpoint, they're like, look, this is it, this is something that has to be. It's important to know that our political party is here to fight for the case, because it's a lot like we did not feel that there, like as a society, that it was a fair fight. We did not feel that there was anybody saying that, no, like somebody needs to, and it's not to say to fight against it. It was just for those who were not comfortable with it. No one supporting them. The people who are like, well, I'm not down. So where am I supposed to turn? There were nobody to turn to. There was no group saying, well, like we are opposed to this or whatever be the case. So that's why it's really important.
And I mean, look, the Conservative Party of Quebec, you know, picked up on a lot of that discontent and everything. But I think also that like the Conservative Party went like really too far. Like I've heard Éric Duhaime say stuff like, oh, well, we know that the COVID measures are going to be in place even after the virus, you know, suggesting that the measures had nothing to do with the virus, stuff like that. Like, you know, I think that that's like, that's much too far. It's inaccurate, you know, and I think that the Conservative Party like capitalized like on this political opportunity, you know, to speak against the measures, but that they, you know, played into like some pretty serious like conspiracy theories and that sort of thing, like in order to get themselves attention and, you know, to see also like their leader is vaccinated, right? But then to be going and like talking against the vaccines and stuff, like, I don't know, I didn't like really appreciate like their approach to it. And I think that like they're insincere and that they're trying to like exploit like this issue, you know. And it's not to say that like people's concerns aren't legitimate or don't need to be listened to, but like the way that the Conservative Party has gone out of their way to capitalize on this, I think is problematic. And but things have also changed, you know, like now it's not, we're not in the same like phase of the pandemic that we were like when these measures were put in. And like when they were, the measures were put in, like they were a lot more popular then than they are now.
Definitely. No, and I you're absolutely right. And I think where my heart goes out is because I know personally that there are still some people, mainly elders, that are still living in this extreme fear, which is, I find that so sad and disappointing, because they've stopped living. Like they don't, like they have absorbed so much of what the media has put out, is that they are living in a state of fear. But it is what it is. Like, and hopefully we'll see once the season changes that, you know, hopefully the energy starts to change and whatnot. So I have two more questions for you guys before we wrap up. Okay. And we're wrapping. So, and actually, well, one is more just your opinions, I guess, or giving you an opportunity to show what is different between your party and the others. And if you want, you could totally bash the other parties. This is now just a platform. It's the time for you to do it. Like, because I know one of the things that came up that was weird is that the Liberal Party, being the party that brought up the Bill 96, I found that was weird, because they've been the party that, you know, the majority of the English community has been supporting Liberal parties for a long time. So I don't know if you guys have a say on that, or, you know, you can if you, you know.
Yeah, sure. So look, like the Green Party of Quebec, there is sort of a mix between like the Liberal Party of Quebec and like Quebec Solidaire, right? Like we have a lot in common with the Liberal Party with respect to, you know, inclusive identity politics and defending minorities and that sort of thing. Although, you know, they haven't stayed true to their principles like in this election and are now like siding with sort of this right-wing nationalism and these calls like to limit like, you know, English and take away rights and that sort of thing. On the other hand, like we have a lot of common points with Quebec Solidaire in terms of social justice and in terms of the different priorities that we put forward. But with Quebec Solidaire, like we go much further than them on a lot of things, you know, whether it's the environment or social justice or the housing policy that I described earlier. Like this stuff is like way further ahead than Quebec Solidaire, who's trying to sort of come to the middle and appear to be like more reasonable or something like that. So us are more of an activist party, you know, we stick true to our principles a little bit more. And so that's sort of where we fit in, you know. Okay. And I think that the Green Party of Quebec is the best party because we're the original Green Party, right? We've always stood up for our values of the environment and social justice. Like we've got a great team of candidates. There are a huge amount of diversity, more so than any other Green Party like in Canada at any other time. And and that's it. And we're staying to our values. We're speaking out on these issues.
Well, this is good. And actually, so what you just said is a perfect segue for me for this last thing I want to bring up. And it's more of, I guess, how can the community help? And I put it out to you that way because I've said it on my show multiple times that although I'm green at heart and I do feel like this is like the Green Party has our best interests at heart when it comes, especially those who care about the environment, but understanding how politics works, the Green Party just never seems to have a chance. If I'm going to be completely honest, it just always seems like we're the super underdog and we're trying to make our way out. So like, why is that, and how, and what can be done to help to change that?
I'll tell you one thing that could really help with that is more alternative media, like the show that you have now.
Awesome.
Because those big media corporations, they're very difficult to crack, you know, and it's almost like they want to decide for people.
Right. You know? That's what that is. If we're going to be very honest, that does seem like what it is. I even made jokes about it that we only really find out about all the parties when it's voting day. When you show up, you're like, oh my God, there's like two. It's like, oh, so it's not just conservative and liberal. There's like, okay, there's other ones on here. Great.
They want to control what you can and what you can't say, what's acceptable, what's not, you know. And they can really, it's incredible. They can go from like, you know, taking some a politician, a party leader, you know, and either putting them up on a huge pedestal and giving like a huge like exposure, kind of like they're giving to Eric Zuhem, or they can do the opposite and they can really push you down and sort of like pretend as if you don't exist, which is what they're doing to the Green Party of Quebec and I. And I don't see why somebody like Eric Zuhem, you know, would be considered like more credible or more newsworthy than Green Party of Quebec, because we have a lot of bold propositions and everything, and people care about the environment, they care about social justice, and they care about inclusive Quebec, you know. So why is it that the media has decided that like the Conservative Party is credible and deserves attention and the Green Party is not, you know? It's really incredible. And that's one of the things that can be sometimes frustrating, you know, about my job here, is that, you know, you see like this power structure in place and like all the tentacles of the system that deploy during election period, you know, to preserve the status quo and to limit the speed of change in society. It's really incredible. So those are some of the challenges that are facing the Green Party. But at the same time, like, you never know when things can change, right? Like, I used to volunteer for the NDP with Jack Layton, and we had like this huge wave where in a period of 2 weeks, we went from thinking we'd have maybe one seat in Quebec to having like 80% of them.
Wow.
People in their 20s and stuff like that being elected to parliament that never expected to have a chance at winning whatsoever. So, you know, I think that things can change like quite a bit. And like our role in the Green Party is to present an alternative, you know, and make sure that that alternative is on the ballot, that it has the most developed platform possible. And that if people vote for us, we'll be there to elect them. And we also have the role of influencing the debate. Like, there's a lot of policies that we've developed in Green Party of Quebec, which, you know, have gone on to be adopted by the other parties and this sort of thing. So that's it. Our role is to influence the debate and provide an alternative and to inject some positive energy into the democratic process, you know. So it's always just the same thing over and over again. People lose interest, they don't want to vote, this sort of thing, particularly young people. Like, we've got a lot of young candidates. I think if young people look at who's running the election and they see people in their 20s that are putting their name forward, their face on a sign, they're doing it, well, maybe they'd be a little bit, you know, more interested in voting and coming to debates and you know, informing themselves about the election.
Man, this has been great, Alex. Like, I definitely appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. I know it's super busy, there's a lot of things going on, but to be able to connect with us, to be able to connect with community has been huge. So now, if people want to find out more, if they want to connect with the party, they want to support, become a member, donate, how do they do all those things?
So the best thing to do is go to our website, pvq.qc.ca, like Parti Vert Québec. Okay. On there, you'll find our platform. It's called the New Green Plan. It's a document, it's about 45 pages or so. You can look through and check whatever issue, you know, interests you. We have policies on all of the issues. So that's really interesting. People can also become members on our website. It's completely free. You'll be added to a mailing list. You have the updates and that sort of thing. And there's a lot of opportunity in the Green Party. You know, we're going to be looking for candidates in the next election, for example. And there's a lot of ways to get involved. So I really encourage people to take a look at our website. And if anybody wants to reach out to me directly, if they have questions or that sort of thing, you can easily find my email address on the website, or you can also reach out to me on Facebook.
Amazing. Yeah, you are super accessible. So we thank you for that. Guys, this has been another awesome, awesome segment of Parley with the People. We are on here with Alex Terrell, the leader of the Green Party. That's the Parti Vert du Québec. They're just here doing their thing and fighting for the planet and fighting for the people. So we thank them again for doing it. And again, Alex, I thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cool.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby.
Listen, August Alsina claims that Tory Lanez lumped him up.
Wait, what? Let me sit and listen.
And apparently for no reason at all. So he went online and he wrote a whole book talking about how he entered whatever venue they were in. He seen Tory Lanez. Tory Lanez walks up to him with a bunch of big, like, security dudes and pretty much goes to, like, dap him. And he says to him, like, well, you know, like, when August Alsina doesn't dap him back, he's like, well, why you ain't dap me back? And he was like, well, considering that all of the times that I was in the media or that you had a chance to say something about me, you had something bad to say about me every time. So I didn't think that you were going to speak. Well, whatever ensued after they had those words, Tory Lanez commenced to jump on August Alsina and beat him up.
That is a high jump.
That is terrible. That is terrible.
That's a high-ass jump.
So right now, August Alsina is pretty much saying, like, just off the strength, he wasn't going to talk about it, but apparently he heard some people pretty much woofing about the fact that Tory Lanez lumped him up, blah, blah. But he's like, Tory Lanez is telling the story like he did something to him. He was like, but the truth is that I didn't think that he was going to speak to me, because every time I see him, any interviews, if they ask about me, he always has something negative to say. So I didn't think that he would expect me to dap him. I didn't even think that he was going to speak to me at all.
No, guys, Tory, honestly, please get some therapy. No, because he's an angry Napoleon complex having person. Like, he stays on angry.
And you know what's so crazy? In person, he's not that way.
He's not that what?
He's not like that in person.
Every time I see this man in an interview, he's complaining. He has something to say about whatever artist. It's always a complaint about this, that, and the third. You always upset and angry. You always feel like
something's coming. I almost feel like it's part of his persona. I feel like it's part of his persona. Like, so, you know, every artist can't be the smiley, cheery guy. I honestly think that it's part of what they pay him to do, to be.
Well, I think he's angry that he's short.
Oh.
And then I feel like, or he feels like he has to outright be so aggressive to be taken seriously.
I get
so
it. I know what
the Napoleon complex.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I understand exactly what you're talking about.
And now you have tall ass Alsina coming in the club where you gotta look.
And you know, he just got out of a coma.
Yeah, because he has some illnesses.
So, yeah, something was wrong with him. So I'm like, come on, Tory. But I don't even understand, because, like, and honestly, in real life, and I've come across the young man a couple times, he's really not like that in person. Mm. He's so kind. He's so nice. He's so everything. So I'm almost feeling like, almost like how Lil Nas X is doing the gay thing, but I really don't believe that.
You don't believe he's gay?
No, I don't believe he's gay at all. I've seen some videos of him with his girlfriend.
He could be bi.
Nah, it wasn't that. It ain't that. And I feel he wrote a tweet on Twitter. He said something like this gay stuff is getting played out. I'm done doing that now. Let me tell y'all the truth. Let me go back to the, like,
to the drawing board. Yeah. Or to what it is. So, I don't know. Like, if that's your persona,
but I think that his persona is like punch him in the face. Like, just.
Okay, but see, if you're telling me outside of when he's in public, he's this nice person, I don't see, or maybe he's bipolar. Let me not go diagnosing people, but like, how do you go from, oh, you didn't daps me, and then like, you're gonna,
I think they
that's
just,
not your
I, sometimes I think they be really be going with the same girls and stuff, and the same crowds
but we
and
ain't
stuff,
friends,
and I think
though.
That's where they get little animosities and stuff like that from.
Look, pandemic, okay? I'm not dabbing you. We're not friends. You're not in my circle. You're not in my
not
bubble.
Pandemic.
Like, don't get mad at me.
Yes.
Because I didn't dab you up. That's not, like, we don't go together.
No, he's vets.
You never been inside my house.
Nice facts.
So
he decked them. They got. Anyways, August said,
"It's not cute."
Run the video footage because he has reason to believe that Tory was induced on that white girl. So yeah, say he's on the sugar booger. So I don't know, but he said run the tapes. So this is what his claim is now. He's like, and your entourage videotaped it. Tell them run the tapes. Well, I'm going to leave that where it's at. And hopefully I'll have a little bit to come back to you guys and report on what happened with this situation. But I'm getting the ring from the way that August is writing. He's about to sue. Let's just see.
I don't feel like that's an August thing to do, you know.
We're gonna
anyway, Tory, fix your jaw.
Yeah, get it together.
You know what I mean? And just get it together.
Get it together. And you know what? As far as his entourage is concerned, they're responsible too. Because the truth is that I kind of expect this for the artistry. Like, when I get out there and I start doing this stuff, just know I'm going to keep doing it. The entourage, though, is supposed to stop me. Stop me! Somebody stop me.
Supposed to, but it depends. It depends on how much you need that check.
Yeah. No,
and, and the person who's doing it. Because, you know, some of those situations that you've had before, if you try to do that, if you try to go against the hot-headed artist, you get fired. So you're just like, all right, well.
Yeah.
Let me just do my job.
So in other news, we have Sherelle Griner Brittany Griner's wife. Mm-hmm. So last week we touched on Brittany Griner a little bit in regards to her situation. Sherelle Griner met with President Biden this week in regards to discuss tactics and what they plan on doing in order to bring this young lady home.
Okay.
So I hope that it works. But it says that Joe Biden actually invited her there to the White House to assure her that the Biden administration is fighting to bring Brittany home. Okay. So I guess he wanted to have a heart to heart with her. And hey, you know, maybe this is one of the first steps. And I'm wishing them all the best. I'm not going to stay on the topic, but I'll be definitely making sure that I keep you guys updated on that file. And let's just send some positive energy out there to that sister.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, who's the finest artist that you've ever seen? Like, let's say finest rapper.
The finest rapper?
Yeah, finest male rapper.
So my thing is, well, so here's the thing.
Okay.
From a sheer, like, looks perspective, the first name that came to mind, mm-hmm. Dave East.
Dave East?
Yeah, he's really? He's very luscious.
Okay.
However, from like the content of what they say and all these different things and like the their music, mm-hmm. do I love his hair right now? No, but J. Cole's still my man through and through, and he's not conventionally good looking per se. Mm-hmm. But all due respect to his wife, and I wished him.
Oh, he's married.
He's married with kids.
Oh, shucks.
But if you guys have a good long life, and at the end of the and there comes a point where you guys have a conscious uncoupling, J. Cole. If I'm in that same situation, we can build a second life.
Holla at G, baby.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's just everything about him is just